Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. Mark Cox, along with my partner, Bo Matthews, producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Great to have you in here. And, you know, we got a little break from the weather about back at the end of the week. But I have to tell you, Bo Matthews, I was bragging last week, the last weekend, that I was going to go hunting. But we woke up Sunday morning, and it was 4 degrees outside, and we chickened out. Number one, my buddy said my dogs might go on strike if I try to make them go bird hunting in this weather. So we chickened out.
And I will tell you this, that I just heard of a group that was doing frisbee golf or disc golf last weekend on 10 acres out in Pacific, Missouri. I'm thinking, are you nuts? It was like single digits. They were loving it, eating it up. I'm like, okay.
I think your fingers would break off if you caught a frisbee in that 4 degree weather. So
anyway. It's so bad. It was so bad. And it's coming back. It's this weekend, too.
Yeah.
I know. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, your premier gun concierge. They're on Manchester and DePere, just east of 270. Jesse Rolfes is a man with little sleep. He replied to my text at 4:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, it's true. The man never sleeps because they're so busy at Razorback Armory. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bo?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking the call because a couple of things, and thank you for sponsoring the show in 2024. But I started hearing some murmurings just a couple of days ago about a possible ammo shortage moving in the new year because the price of the ingredients, if you want to call it that, are on the rise as of January 1st. And you are my go-to on anything Second Amendment, firearms, and ammo. So what do you know?
So, yeah, what you've heard is true. We've been, it started, we got it back probably the third quarter last year. They started talking about it. It's your components. So it's your copper, your lead, your brass. Actually, the most important one is the gunpowder and the primer compound. The primer compounds are getting a lot more expensive to manufacture and a lot more regulated, but, yeah, they've told us that prices are going up, and their percentages are all over the place. It's not like a flat number. We've heard as low as 4 and 5%, and as high as 20.
Wow!
Oh my!
Yeah, and I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand how the ammunition industry works completely. But is it a scarcity issue in terms of when it comes to the gunpowder or the brass? I mean, is any of that because we're having trouble getting our hands on it? Is it a government issue? What do we know about it?
Some of it is a scarcity. So got some friends in the powder business, and right now, because of the different conflicts around the world and what's going on, a lot of that is getting dedicated to going back. We're seeing really nothing's coming out of Europe. We used to get a fair amount of ammo, probably maybe up to about a third of it's coming in from Europe.
Wow.
Well, that's stopped. Everything has got to be made here to be able to get it to you. And the powders are becoming a problem. Primer compound, so actually SIG, one of my bigger brands, they're actually making a facility down in Arkansas because they already make their own ammo, but they were sourcing the primers. So they're making their own primer factory, but it doesn't come online instantly. It's a multi-year project, and they're still chugging along at it, but we won't see the results of that probably till possibly the mid end of next year.
25?
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, it's just so weird because so much ammo and artillery was made around the St. Louis area, over the course of decades, and to hear these numbers is the increase is kind of scary. If you're not already stocked up, it's probably time to move now. And by the way, I'm a baker's son, and so when I called the parts ingredients and you called them components, that shows the difference between you and me, Jess.
but, they both make it all right.
Say it again.
They'll both make ammo. It's good.
yeah, they do. Oh, my gosh. Well, so you know what? I knew you were the guy to go to on that because you're seeing it because you're inside the... You're up at 4:30 in the morning on work. You're seeing those subtle changes that go up and down. Wasn't it true a couple of years ago or up till a couple of years ago we were getting ammo from all around the world at different places?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've We import a lot of ammo. I mean, there's and that's the streams that are getting cut off because they're getting redirected to conflicts where, you know, they're shooting the ammo now. You know, you've got Israel, yeah. You know, still, you know, they're going through about as much as they can make. There's other parts of Europe going through as much as they can make with Ukraine and different conflicts. So it's, you know, it's definitely affecting our marketplace. And, you know, as far as all this happening and the metals prices going up, you know, going into an election year, we're a couple of headlines from panic buying, you know, on ammo and different things for people. And the way that from a manufacturer to a wholesaler to a retailer to me giving it to the end person, that chain of events right there, it doesn't take big swings well. When everybody goes out and panic buys stuff and clears the shelves off, you know, two or three times, the whole distribution chain gets holes in it. So, you know, you can want the ammo all you want, and I want to get it to you. I can't get it from a manufacturer to get it to you fast enough. So then that becomes those gaps. And that's where you see, like, hey, there's no ammo here, you know, there's ammo shortages and things.
Well, I mean, it's good to know. I mean, it's one service we can give to our listeners. If they know that's happening, they can pay attention and come into Razorback or maybe wherever they buy their ammunition and start buying an extra box or two. I mean, it can't hurt. I don't want to cause panic buying by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm trying to do a mental inventory right now of what I might need, to be honest.
Yeah, right, and we tell people that it's not, you know, you don't want to preach or spread fear, but you have these guns, you have, you know, your firearms. You want something to feed them. You want to be able to, you don't want to have two boxes of shells and not shoot your gun because you don't want to go through that ammo,
right,
you know?
Right,
you want to
right.
have enough ammo on hand that you can comfortably shoot when you want to. You've got enough in reserves and backup, so if there is, you know, panic and something happens, you're not the guy 12th in line at, you know, the gun shop that doesn't get his ammo,
right.
You know? So, yeah.
Well, Jesse from Razorback Armory is our guest, and I wanted to ask you, last year I got into a little bit of skeet shooting, and I found a buddy of mine. He goes, oh, yeah, my kids do it, so I ordered a pallet of shotgun shells. Are you a source if people want to buy in bulk? Can they come to you for that?
So I can for a lot of different things. I can call a wholesaler, and if it's on their shelf, we can get it. And a lot of times, especially back when, you know, ammo was going insane, that was the only way they would deliver it to me. So yeah, they'll drop the pallet, we'll sell it. You know, and so with skeet shooting, when they say they're buying a pallet, they're usually buying a flat, which is one flat row of a pallet, you know, which when I was Heat League, that's where I was doing it, because you're going through so many shells, you know, a week or 2 weeks that you're not going to the gun shop every week to buy ammo. You want to have it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. Well, it's good to know that's out there. Bo, do you have something else to add?
I just wanted to ask how your Sig Sauer Legion series is selling, because that was our big push for the store this month, and these are custom works. These are higher end. Are you still stocked up in a good assortment of them?
Yeah, so we've gone through a lot of them. There's more coming in. My SIG shipments are pretty much daily. We'll get something from SIG to replace what we just sold. But, so the Legion or the Custom Works, which is like the top tier of each model from SIG, sell great. And then they're loaded with all the features, everything that people want in them. So great guns.
Yeah. Awesome. Jesse, I know that it seemed there for a while, every month we were breaking the previous month's record when it came to background checks in this country. I don't think November and December, the holiday season, were any different this year, were they?
No, it seems to keep going along. I don't know if we were breaking records, but we were definitely keeping on par. It seems like some days we think it's going to slow down or kind of level out, and it just keeps going.
Well, I mean, people are concerned. They see what's going on in the country. I mean, I don't think I just think people have decided that they need to take their own safety into their own hands, and that's not a matter of anybody panicking or being an alarmist. I think more people come to that realization every day, and you probably get people coming into the store, I would imagine, because I have other friends in the industry who are first-time gun buyers pretty regularly.
Yeah, huge portion of our sales are to new gun owners. Yes,
yeah.
Never owned a firearm before. A variety of different reasons, but the most common thread is, you know, they watch the news, they talk to their neighbors, they see other things that are going on, and they want to make sure that they're able to defend themselves and their family if need be?
Last time I was at Razorback Armory, Mark, I have to tell you, I learned something from him every time I talked to him. But the one thing that he told me, which I was shocked, if you own an AR, Jesse says he never, if possible, ever shoots an AR without a silencer, a suppressor. He never. Oh, if he doesn't have to. I thought, what? Yeah. I never knew that, but there's a lot of benefits to that, and Razorback can get you connected to the silencer and suppressors. Have you ever heard that before, Mark?
I have not. No.
It's a night and day difference. It takes that platform, which is people will call them a weapon of war and everything. It's a modern sporting rifle. They're excellent platforms to target shoot, to defend, to sport shoot. You know, all kinds of long range applications. But when you take that raw muzzle and suppress it, it changes the whole platform and makes it so much more pleasant to shoot.
Jesse has standards, see. All right, Jesse, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, one more time. Sorry, I stepped on you.
Oh, that's all right, buddy. No, it's my ears keep ringing all the time from all the years I shot without a suppressor.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay, so you have a good excuse. RazorbackArmory.com. That's Jesse Rolfus. Does a great job. If you want to learn anything, heck, you're going to when you walk in their store. Thank you, buddy, and keep arming America. We appreciate everything you do and your sponsorship as well.
No problem. You guys have a great one. We'll see you.
We'll do it. All Jesse, right. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, big show for you today. Coming up, one of the stars of the UFC, mixed martial artist, hometown boy from St. Louis, Michael Chandler, is going to join us live in studio. We can't wait to get him in here, find out what's going on with him. He's got a fight coming up with somebody I've heard of before. What was that guy's name, Bo?
He's a newcomer, I think. Connor something.
McGregor. Yeah, it's coming up in June. We're going to be back with more Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors in just a minute.
See you at the top!
The beat go.
Oh, ain't that something? Drums came in, you ain't see that coming. Hands on my head, can't tell me nothing.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox, and a very special guest in this segment is a UFC fighter, and actually I'm going to call you a longtime friend. Michael Chandler is in the studio, buddy. How are you? Welcome back to St. Louis.
I'm great. So happy to be back in St. Louis, man. My old stomping ground. So it's been good, man. Thank y'all for having me.
It's been kind of cool to follow his career, and I met his mom with him one time, and I think it was at the Gravoy Bluffs or something. And you don't have a better cheerleader besides her, maybe your wife, but she is like,
yeah,
she is in your corner full on, isn't she?
She sure is. Yeah, she's been watching me ever since Little League wrestling, and she was in there and all the sweaty, nasty, loud gyms all those different years. And here we are, and fighting on the world stage.
It's amazing. What a career. I mean, chart that for people that are listening who might not know, Michael. High Ridge, Northwest High School, mm-hmm. Mizzou. I mean.
So obviously, wrestled under Ron and Bob Wilhelm in Northwest High School right here in High Ridge, Missouri.
Jeffco, baby.
That's where I grew up. Went 2 hours west, walked on to the University of Missouri. You know, I was kind of the lowest guy on the totem pole. Worked my way up, became a team captain, national qualifier 4 times, and then a All-American in 2009. And figured I'd give this thing called mixed martial arts a try down at Lake of the Ozarks in August of 2009. And then I've been trying it ever since. 31 fights and world champion in Bellator, fought for the world title in the UFC, top 5 lightweight, and we get to beat up this guy named Conor McGregor in June, so it's going to be fun.
Who's that?
Who?
Yeah, some guy.
Who is that guy? He wears a fur coat, that's all I know.
Yeah.
This is a long time coming because he had that bad leg break which went the wrong way, walking like a chicken, and when I saw that I thought, man, will that ever happen? But he's agreed, so...
He has, yeah, and you can say what you want about Connor. There's a lot of haters and a lot of doubters, but when Connor says something, he usually sticks to it when it comes to opponents and fight dates and that kind of stuff. So we're heading in the right direction. This is a fight that's been looming now for a year. We did the Ultimate Fighter on ESPN. I absolutely dominated. Team Chandler beat McGregor, 10 fights out of 12. So we kind of have a little history there, and then now we're talking June 29th, International Fight Week.
That's huge.
Well, the show is called Second Amendment Radio. You have guns right here, and the Great Outdoors. And so I've been watching you on Instagram. I feel like I'm stalking you because you pop up on my reel all the time. But Dude, when you guys got the snow in Tennessee and I saw you do the cold plunge, but that wasn't it. Tell the people about cold plunge. Why do you do it? Go into a little bit of the science. Does it really help you? Because I don't do it.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, the biggest thing from a physiological standpoint is you're turning on that anti-inflammatory system, right? And also just creating the endorphins and kind of the shock factor. I mean, I think it's widely known. I mean, people are a little bit too comfortable these days, right? We like to sit at 70 degrees, and I don't think God created us for 100% comfort all of the time, right? So putting myself outside of my comfort zone, I used to hate cold water, used to hate cold weather. I was kind of a sissy about it. So I made a promise to myself a little over a year ago, I'm going to start doing it. And now it's become fun. It's become something that I kind of desire and look forward to, even though it does suck. But for me, it's an accomplishment because I was so afraid of it. And then obviously there was snow. I had the hot tub, you know, down at the other side of the yard. So I knew no matter how cold I got, I would be able to hop in the hot tub, but I still wanted to show my sons I'm a little bit nuts. So,
well, yeah, I mean, look, here's what you need to understand, Michael. Your friend Bo Matthews that you're talking to here often texts me in the morning from his thought tub, he calls it, but it's really a hot tub.
Yeah.
So I want to see him do this ice bath. Yeah. Well, I want to see that, Bo.
Oh, no. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's always nice when you got the hot tub. You know, that's definitely how you got to start. And a lot of people just start with cold showers. I mean, I took a cold shower this morning. I didn't sleep real well last night. Obviously, we worked all day yesterday. I was on the road, so I kind of woke up this morning a little sleepy-eyed. And I was like, man, I just took a little couple-minute cold shower. And then I turned it on hot, warmed myself up, and then got my day going. Here we are.
Okay, so I don't do a cold plunge. I just do a cold shower because I'll step in. And if you just step in after you turn your faucet on in the shower, it's cold for a minute, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'll just jump in right away, but then I go back to my 103 that's waiting 24 hours a day.
Which is fine, though. Which is fine, though. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and then you kind of just, like anything, brick by boring brick, you build. You know, you build a career, you build a life, you build a tolerance, you build everything brick by boring brick. That's the hard working St. Louis boy way.
Yeah.
What was your son's expression about you getting from the cold plunge to the hot tub? It was just awesome. He was all bundled up like Christmas Story, right?
Yeah, well, the first one was my son Ace, and it was my son Ace's first time seeing snow. So then he saw his dad be nuts in the snow. And then my almost 7-year-old Hap was the second time when I was doing the front flips, and he's pretty used to it by now. He knows his dad's a little bit psycho, so it's fun.
Speaking of UFC again for a minute, we talked to Michael about getting to see Donald Trump when he showed up with, I guess, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson and some other folks to a fight recently, right?
Yeah, that was, I saw him in New York, and then I saw him in Vegas as well. Walking out with Kid Rock, and the entire place goes nuts. Had to go over and say hi. So I have a friend of mine who is in his camp, actually one of his Secret Service guys, and then one guy who kind of works in his campaign, so I always make sure I try to pull some strings and say, I got the security clearance and all that kind of stuff now, because I've seen him a couple different times, and people know I'm a fan of Trump, and I love what he's doing. So
Does he look like he's in fighting shape, because I understand he weighs 215 pounds.
I mean, I tell you what, I mean, people can talk about his age and all that kind of stuff. The dude is with it. The dude is motivated. The dude, he is sharp. He's going to hurt some people's feelings, but he's at least a sharp human being.
You'll have to relate what he said to you when he found out where you lived.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the first time, because my wife, Bree, always wanted to meet him, too. And I was like, hey, babe, this is the time. I'm going to, you know, let's go meet Trump. So we brought him over there. He's like, yeah, what's up, Michael? It's good to see you, man. You're fighting McGregor next? Yeah. And you guys live in Tennessee? He's like, I pull really well in Tennessee. You know, we do really well in Tennessee. I'm like, you know, he kind of does the thing. I'm like, Donald Trump, right to the talking points.
It's what's on his mind. That's awesome. And so your fight is set for June 29th for Conor McGregor. Where's that going to be? Do we know?
It's not confirmed yet, but historically, International Fight Week is usually the biggest card that they do kind of in the middle of the year. Yeah. It's always in Vegas because it's obviously a celebration for the UFC.
Oh, okay.
So 99% sure it'll be in Las Vegas, and which I'm excited about. I've fought, this will be my sixth fight in the UFC, and I haven't fought in Vegas yet, so I haven't enjoyed a Vegas fight week. So maybe it's maybe I'm biting off more than I can chew. Maybe it is going to be a little bit crazy because it is Vegas, you know, on fight week. But I want to experience that, and here we go.
What's that psych up for you? I mean, what like we watch the Rocky movies, and you know, and he gets down, then he gets up, and then he gets back in the fight. And I mean, is it you out on your own, or you got a team that works with you? What are you doing when you lead up to this fight?
A big team, and that's why I do travel down to Florida for 8 to 10 weeks. You know, I think this time I'll probably do a 12-week modified camp, fly back home on the weekends to see my family. But I kind of fully immerse myself in that kind of Spartan lifestyle, if you will. It's kind of Groundhog's Day every day, embracing the monotony, 2-3 workouts a day. And the biggest thing is, you know, practicing patience, realizing that not every day is going to be great. Not every day is going to be perfect, but it's going to be successful. There's going to be ways that we build. We're going to have our tough days. We're going to have as long as we have more good days than we have bad days, things are going to be fine.
Well, it's fun to watch. I know that for sure. You are in St. Louis, we should mention, because, 6 months ago or so, you got involved with Hiatus Tequila.
Yep. Yeah, I discovered them about a year ago. I wanted to start my own tequila company. I wanted to be in the spirits industry, and tequila is my drink of choice. But then a friend of mine who was already in the industry said, hey, you need to take a look at this Hiatus company. I feel like it fits your brand. It is a clean, additive-free tequila. It looks clean and crisp. It looks phenomenal. So I discovered it, tried it. From the first taste, I knew I wanted more, but I wanted more involvement. So I met our founder, Chris DeSoto, who created tequila for tequila people, the way it was supposed to be intended to be. And I loved the ethos behind it. So finally, it took me a little while to kind of convince him to let me come into the company and invest to come on as a owner and investor with them. And now we're spreading the word of what I believe is the best tequila on the planet.
Yeah. So. Well, by the time people hear this, you'll be out of town, but mm-hmm. we should mention you did sign a bunch of bottles that you left at the Schnucks over there in DePere, right?
In DePere on Manchester. Yeah, we had a bunch of people come through yesterday, so that was cool. So we got a bunch of signed bottles there, and you can go on hiatustequila.com. Actually, if you use the promo code Chandler, you get a little bit of a discount there to try what I believe is the best tequila on the planet.
Well, that's awesome. Michael Chandler, listen, it's a pleasure having you in, my friend. Best of luck in June. I don't think you're going to need luck. I think you got all the will you need.
Just got to bring the guns.
That's awesome,
bring the guns, baby.
Great to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate you.
Enjoy your visit. We appreciate having you here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Coming up, there's some stuff you need to know about if you have a furnace. And most of us who have a house have a furnace. The Biden administration is making some changes that are going to hit your pocketbook. We're going to talk to our friend Brian Eggers from Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning when we come back in just a minute. You call me what you want, but never call me forgettable. Leave you deep in thought, I can never swim in the kiddie pool. Waited, I've been thinking the cinematic is beautiful, man. I don't know if I'm making movies or music videos. I'm in development, take a look at the benefits. Nothing to matter with, I can never be delicate. My irrelevant, that depends on you. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Baby, it's been cold outside, and you know it's going to get worse before winter is over. No doubt about that.
I don't even think you can quote that song. Didn't they ban that song?
They tried. We don't care, Bo. We do what we want around here. Anyway.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm just saying. Here's the thing about it. If you have wanted to maybe get a new furnace, you've been thinking about it, maybe yours has not been keeping up with the task when it's been 0 degrees, there's something you need to know. My friend Brian Eggers, kind enough to join us this morning from Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. CallEggers.com is their website, longtime supporter of my program. And Brian, welcome in, my friend. How are you?
Great. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, good to get you on here. You mentioned this on my show when I had you on a couple of weeks ago, that some changes being forced down your throat by the administration, by the government, are going to lead to some higher prices for equipment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a fact. So, every year the industry usually has a bit of a price increase just to kind of keep up with the cost of overhead of, you know, inflation and labor and materials and whatnot. And so not only are we going to see that increase here in the next few weeks, when this new equipment rolls out at some point later this year, because 12/31 is the deadline of when it can be produced. And I know that there's going to be manufacturers who are certainly not going to wait until the last minute to switch their line, because it would be illegal on January 1st of 25 to manufacture the existing equipment. So they're going to be switching over their production lines here, I would say sometime third quarter of this year would be my guess. And we've been told, the organization that I'm president of and just industry folks that I've spoke to said to brace for about a 30% price increase across the board on all heating and air conditioning equipment.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, well, you know, we've been told that Bidenomics is working, so I guess we can all afford these 30% increases, right, Brian?
Along with the gas and everything, you know, heating and utilities and everything else that is costing groceries, it's costing more money. It's just one more thing. It's all right.
But you've got to stay warm. And you know, it's kind of like when you get in your car on a cold snap day like we were having and your car doesn't start. That's when you realize your heating system in your home is not working. So you guys have been just going nuts, I'm sure, trying to get everybody back up and running, right?
Yeah. We're really trying to prioritize the people who are struggling with either no heat or, you know, some sort of situation where their equipment's not keeping up. One of the things that I think is probably important for the audience to understand is that there are design conditions for heating and for cooling. And so we get a lot of calls of, hey, you know, I know it's -5 out, but I can only keep my house at 64 degrees or 68 degrees. St. Louis, when you look at the design, it's based on a 2-degree ambient temperature. So when you're looking at 2 degrees as your design temperature, and then you go into negative temperatures like we've had, your furnace is not typically going to keep up and keep your house at 73 degrees or whatever you're accustomed to. And so the equipment may be running nonstop. It may be not quite hitting your set point. Most of the cases that we're seeing where people are calling with that complaint saying, you know, I'm only a few degrees away from my set point, but I can't get there. It's giving you everything that it has. There's nothing wrong. It's just past the design limits of how equipment is sized.
Wow.
And so for those folks, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but if we did overkill and designed it for say -10 on our average temperature days in the 30s or 40s, you would have so much heat coming in through your vents that it would be this disastrous temperature swing. And so that's why we don't just put 135,000 BTUs in everyone's home, because, you know, you don't want your furnace to kick on and it feel like, you know, hell's waiting room in your house in the next 6 minutes, because, you know, it's too much. And so there's a balance there. And fortunately, we don't hit negative temperatures often. But when we do, you have to watch for pipes. You know, you have to do some due diligence, maybe turn a faucet on if your piping is on the exterior of your building, and let it trickle just overnight, especially when you're not using it, because there's been a lot of freezing pipes, and that creates all kinds of mayhem and thousands of dollars in water damage and whatnot.
Because then the water leaks down onto your furnace, which then stops working, and then you got 10 times the problem, right?
You bet.
Yeah. What a nightmare. What are your tips for people, Brian? I mean, just to other than making sure you're getting regular maintenance on your furnace for times like this.
Yeah, maintenance is important. I'm not going to say that it's not. When we're in the middle of the fight like we are right now with temperatures, it's kind of a little bit too late for maintenance. Not to say that it's not still valuable, but, you know, people are running around doing triage, trying to get people's equipment working again. And so the best thing a homeowner can do is make sure that they're using a quality filter. Some filters, even though they're a name brand or they're recognized, still have a high, what's called static pressure. The breathability of the filter isn't great. And so if your system is struggling and you don't have a new filter in there and there's some dirt built up on it, it's going to make it even harder for it to maintain temperature because you're restricting that airflow. So first and foremost, I'd say new filter. If you have a high efficiency furnace that uses plastic PVC pipes to exhaust that flue gas outside of your home, in these sustained freezing temperatures, sometimes that water or that steam that comes out of the pipe likes to grow an icicle on there. And I've seen plenty of cases where that exhaust pipe actually gets partially shut off and then your furnace malfunctions because it thinks there's a blockage. So making sure the icicle's removed from an exhaust pipe would be a good move. Making sure that, you know, nothing is around any intakes or exhausts is a good measure. There's drains on furnaces that are condensing or high efficiency. And so making sure that the drain is clear and flowing and that you didn't accidentally put a paint bucket on a hose and now it's shutting the thing down. So there's some real common sense things that folks can do But, you know, just keeping the equipment clean and giving it some grace when we're, you know, down to -2 at night and understanding that, well, maybe 68 is the best it can do, are things that, you know, kind of set people's mind at ease.
I'll tell you, I'm a huge fan of the electric blanket, and I'm being serious. I'll put it on just a 3 until I get into bed, and then I'll put it on 1, and 1 is perfect. My wife likes it at 6 or 8 or whatever, but it's a great way to stay warm, especially in the dangerous temperatures. Brian, I wanted to ask you, though, are your operators that answer your phones able to vet whether a person truly needs a repair or if the furnace is just not enough or it's too old? Can they vet that out so you don't have to send service people out or service techs?
Yeah, typically we can kind of walk that through over the phone and say, hey, you're going to be okay. And I mean, 95% of the time people will accept that. You still have this sliver of people. It's like, I hear what you're saying, but I kind of don't care what you're saying, and I want you to come out anyway just to make me feel better.
Well, I'm freezing.
So, I mean, I understand people are worried about pipes freezing and whatnot, and piping on the exterior of your house can absolutely freeze, even if the center part of your house is warm. So, I mean, like I said, turning a faucet on, letting it trickle, especially overnight when the temperatures dip real low and the sun's not shining on your house to heat it up, are all great tips. But yeah, I mean, we can pretty much vet that over the phone with pretty high accuracy.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'll just tell you one thing. My furnace from Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning has kept me toasty warm through all of this. So thank you, Brian.
You bet. I'm glad to hear it.
I have to tell you, Bo, on a personal note, when Brian and I've had, he's probably been a sponsor of my show for 6 years now, and I'd have him come over, and ever so often my furnace or my air conditioner would go on the outs, and he'd send somebody over to look at it. Occasionally, Brian would come over himself, and he'd look at me and goes, you know this thing's on its last legs, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. Just nurse it along a little bit longer. So then a year ago in June, I'm on vacation in Florida, and we had some of my wife's relatives were staying at our house while we were gone because they were in town visiting. And that's when my air conditioner decided to die. And I'm on the phone with Brian from Florida saying, can't you make it work one more time? And he's like, dude, this compressor is gone. There's nothing else I can do for you. So he nursed me along for a long time before we upgraded to the higher efficiency Carrier Infinity unit, I think it is. And this thing's great. I love this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so one thing to keep in mind for folks who are on the bubble, you know, anything that's getting close to 15 years old and certainly beyond has reached its, you know, what the manufacturer suggests is its useful life expectancy. So if you're on the fence or you're getting close to that 15-year mark, it's a great time before prices go up. Yeah. We're running a sale right now that's a 15% off, and we're doing this during this promotional period till the 8th of February. 8th of February, pricing goes up 6%, the 15% discount goes away, and then later this year, we're expecting another 30%. So I've shared with many customers over the last few weeks that we've been running this promotion, you're going to pay 51% with us. You're going to pay 51% less if you install new equipment right now, as opposed to waiting 12 months from now.
That's huge. And, you know, Mark and I like to drive old crap and fix old crap, obviously. Can you limp it along a little bit longer? Get the duct tape. We need some help. Mm-hmm. But if you do buy new technology, you do save in the big numbers, the bills you have to pay. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I was just talking to a neighbor of mine last night, and he's all electric, which doesn't help anything. But he said, you know, from the time before you install this equipment to after, he said, my utility bills average $170 a month less than they did.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and so what they're doing with because of the price increases and stuff, is it kind of like the Obama light bulb or the, you know, no gas stove? Is it one of those federal moves that's making the big difference in your industry?
It is. The new refrigerant has a smidge of propane in it, and even though they're deeming it, you know, slightly flammable, and to be fair, the current refrigerant under the right circumstances with, you know, flame and oxygen added to it is also flammable. So this is slightly more flammable. It's not I've actually seen the tests of them burning the refrigerant, and it really isn't that dramatic of a difference, but out of an abundance of you know, government regulation. The new equipment will have sensors on it that detects refrigerant leaks and then tells the equipment to shut down and turns the fan on to disperse it, and all this stuff is going on. You know, I've asked the industry, are these sensors?
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Baby, it's been cold outside, and you know it's going to get worse before winter is over. No doubt about that.
I don't even think you can quote that song. Didn't they ban that song?
They tried. We don't care, Bo. We do what we want around here. Anyway,
oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Here's the thing about it. If you have wanted to maybe get a new furnace, you've been thinking about it, maybe yours has not been keeping up with the task when it's been 0 degrees, there's something you need to know. My friend Brian Agers, kind enough to join us this morning from Agers Heating and Air Conditioning. CallAgers.com is their website, longtime supporter of my program. And Brian, welcome in, my friend. How are you?
Great. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, good to get you on here. You mentioned this on my show when I had you on a couple of weeks ago, that some changes being forced down your throat by the administration, by the government, are going to lead to some higher prices for equipment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a fact. So, you know, every year the industry usually has a bit of a price increase just to kind of keep up with the cost of overhead of, you know, inflation and labor and materials and whatnot. And so not only are we going to see that increase here in the next few weeks, when this new equipment rolls out at some point later this year, because 12/31 is the deadline of when it can be produced. And I know that there's going to be manufacturers who are certainly not going to wait until the last minute to switch their line, because it would be illegal on January 1st of 25 to manufacture the existing equipment. So they're going to be switching over their production lines here, I would say sometime third quarter of this year would be my guess. And we've been told, the organization that I'm president of and just industry folks that I've spoke to said to brace for about a 30% price increase across the board on all heating and air conditioning equipment.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, well, you know, we've been told that Bidenomics is working, so I guess we can all afford these 30% increases, right, Brian?
Along with the gas and everything, you know, heating and utilities and everything else that is costing groceries, it's costing more money. It's just one more thing. It's all right.
But you've got to stay warm. And you know, it's kind of like when you get in your car on a cold snap day like we were having and your car doesn't start. That's when you realize your heating system in your home is not working. So you guys have been just going nuts, I'm sure, trying to get everybody back up and running, right?
Yeah. We're really trying to prioritize the people who are struggling with either no heat or, you know, some sort of situation where their equipment's not keeping up. One of the things that I think is probably important for the audience to understand is that there are design conditions for heating and for cooling. And so we get a lot of calls of, hey, you know, I know it's -5 out, but I can only keep my house at 64 degrees or 68 degrees. St. Louis, when you look at the design, it's based on a 2-degree ambient temperature. So when you're looking at 2 degrees as your design temperature, and then you go into negative temperatures like we've had, your furnace is not typically going to keep up and keep your house at 73 degrees or whatever you're accustomed to. And so the equipment may be running nonstop. It may be not quite hitting your set point. Most of the cases that we're seeing where people are calling with that complaint saying, you know, I'm only a few degrees away from my set point, but I can't get there. It's giving you everything that it has. There's nothing wrong. It's just past the design limits of how equipment is sized.
Wow.
And so for those folks, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but if we did overkill and designed it for say -10 on our average temperature days in the 30s or 40s, you would have so much heat coming in through your vents that it would be this disastrous temperature swing. And so that's why we don't just put 135,000 BTUs in everyone's home, because, you know, you don't want your furnace to kick on and it feel like, you know, hell's waiting room in your house in the next 6 minutes because, you know, it's too much. And so there's a balance there. And fortunately, we don't hit negative temperatures often, but when we do, you have to watch for pipes. You know, you have to do some due diligence, maybe turn a faucet on if your piping is on the exterior of your building and let it trickle just overnight, especially when you're not using it, because there's been a lot of freezing pipes and that creates all kinds of mayhem and thousands of dollars in water damage and whatnot.
Because then the water leaks down onto your furnace, which then stops working, and then you got 10 times the problem, right?
You bet.
Yeah. What a nightmare. What are your tips for people, Brian? I mean, just to other than making sure you're getting regular maintenance on your furnace for times like this.
Yeah, maintenance is important. I'm not going to say that it's not. When we're in the middle of the fight like we are right now with temperatures, it's kind of a little bit too late for maintenance. Not to say that it's not still valuable, but, you know, people are running around doing triage, trying to get people's equipment working again. And so the best thing a homeowner can do is make sure that they're using a quality filter. Some filters, even though they're a name brand or they're recognized, still have a high, what's called static pressure. The breathability of the filter isn't great. And so if your system is struggling and you don't have a new filter in there and there's some dirt built up on it, it's going to make it even harder for it to maintain temperature because you're restricting that airflow. So first and foremost, I'd say new filter. If you have a high efficiency furnace that uses plastic PVC pipes to exhaust that flue gas outside of your home, in these sustained freezing temperatures, sometimes that water or that steam that comes out of the pipe likes to grow an icicle on there. And I've seen plenty of cases where that exhaust pipe actually gets partially shut off and then your furnace malfunctions because it thinks there's a blockage. So making sure the icicle's removed from an exhaust pipe would be a good move. Making sure that, you know, nothing is around any intakes or exhausts is a good measure. There's drains on furnaces that are condensing or high efficiency. And so making sure that the drain is clear and flowing and that you didn't accidentally put a paint bucket on a hose and now it's shutting the thing down. So there's some real common sense things that folks can do, but, you know, just keeping the equipment clean and giving it some grace when we're, you know, down to -2 at night and understanding that, well, maybe 68 is the best it can do, are things that, you know, kind of set people's mind at ease.
I'll tell you, I'm a huge fan of the electric blanket, and I'm being serious. I'll put it on just a 3 until I get into bed, and then I'll put it on 1, and 1 is perfect. My wife likes it at 6 or 8 or whatever, but it's a great way to stay warm, especially in the dangerous temperatures. Brian, I wanted to ask you, though, are your operators that answer your phones able to vet whether a person truly needs a repair or if the furnace is just not enough or it's too old? Can they vet that out so you don't have to send service people out or service techs?
Yeah, typically we can kind of walk that through over the phone and say, hey, you're going to be okay. And I mean, 95% of the time people will accept that. You still have this sliver of people. It's like, I hear what you're saying, but I kind of don't care what you're saying, and I want you to come out anyway just to make me feel better.
Well, I'm freezing.
Yeah, so I mean, I understand people are worried about pipes freezing and whatnot, and piping on the exterior of your house can absolutely freeze, even if the center part of your house is warm. So I mean, like I said, turning a faucet on, letting it trickle, especially overnight when the temperatures dip real low and the sun's not shining on your house to heat it up, are all great tips. But yeah, I mean, we can pretty much vet that over the phone with pretty high accuracy.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'll just tell you one thing. My furnace from Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning has kept me toasty warm through all of this. So thank you, Brian.
You bet. I'm glad to hear it.
I have to tell you, Bo, on a personal note, when Brian and I've had, he's probably been a sponsor of my show for 6 years now, and I'd have him come over, and ever so often my furnace or my air conditioner would go on the outs, and he'd send somebody over to look at it. Occasionally, Brian would come over himself, and he'd look at me and goes, you know this thing's on its last legs, right? I'm like, yeah, I know. Just nurse it along a little bit longer. So then a year ago in June, I'm on vacation in Florida, And we had some of my wife's relatives were staying at our house while we were gone because they were in town visiting. And that's when my air conditioner decided to die. And I'm on the phone with Brian from Florida saying, can't you make it work one more time? And he's like, dude, this compressor is gone. There's nothing else I can do for you. So he nursed me along for a long time before we upgraded to the higher efficiency Carrier Infinity unit, I think it is. And this thing's great. I love this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so one thing to keep in mind for folks who are on the bubble, you know, anything that's getting close to 15 years old and certainly beyond has reached its, you know, what the manufacturer suggests is its useful life expectancy. So if you're on the fence or you're getting close to that 15-year mark, it's a great time before prices go up. Yeah. We're running a sale right now that's a 15% off, and we're doing this during this promotional period till the 8th of February. 8th of February, pricing goes up 6%, the 15% discount goes away, and then later this year, we're expecting another 30%. So I've shared with many customers over the last few weeks that we've been running this promotion, you're going to pay 51% with us, you're going to pay 51% less if you install new equipment right now, as opposed to waiting 12 months from now.
That's huge. And, you know, Mark and I like to drive old crap and fix old crap, obviously. Can you limp it along a little bit longer? Get the duct tape. We need some help. Mm-hmm. But if you do buy new technology, you do save in the big numbers, the bills you have to pay. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I was just talking to a neighbor of mine last night, and he's all electric, which doesn't help anything. But he said, you know, from the time before you install this equipment to after, he said, my utility bills average $170 a month less than they did.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so what they're doing with the you know, you, because of the price increases and stuff, is it kind of like the Obama light bulb or the, you know, no gas stove? Is it one of those federal moves that's making the big difference in your industry?
It is. The new refrigerant has a smidge of propane in it, and even though they're deeming it, you know, slightly flammable. And to be fair, the current refrigerant, under the right circumstances with, you know, flame and oxygen added to it, is also flammable. So this is slightly more flammable. It's not a, you know, I've actually seen the tests of them burning the refrigerant, and it really isn't that dramatic of a difference. But out of an abundance of, you know, government regulation, the new equipment will have sensors on it that detects refrigerant leaks and then tells the equipment to shut down and turns the fan on to disperse it, and all this stuff is going on. You know, I've asked the industry, are these sensors going to last the life of the equipment?
Yeah.
And the answer was, we think so.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Brian, that makes me feel great.
Brian, we appreciate having you on. callagers.com is the website, and people can get on there and take advantage of that 15% off deal up until February 8th. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Brian Agers, Agers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Agers, that's spelled A-G-E-R-S, callagers.com.
I'm telling you, you have to have a good accountant, a banker, an attorney, and a heating and air conditioning guy.
That's what you need, for sure.
That's crazy. Hey, well, that's nice for...
Guess who walked in the studio, what? Bo?
Who?
Trisha.
Hi, Bo.
Trisha Everding just walked in the studio.
I was just wandering around. I was listening, and I thought, I better stop it and say hi.
So glad you did. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. You know, we don't see each other, you know, on a regular basis because, you know, I've been barred from the building. But the last time I saw you was at the Kill Meat event, and that was a grand success, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you could be there. Yeah, we were very happy with it.
And now what's the big push? What's the next big event? I've been seeing emails come through when I can get access to my email.
Well, it's Democracy 2024, so... anything election. We're just doing elections.
Caucuses, primary elections, whatever the case may be.
New Hampshire is next. That'll be Monday.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's been insane because people can watch legacy media, and we saw what happened after Iowa, right? You know, like the CNNs of the world, Rachel Maddow, they wouldn't even let President Trump talk. They just spoke over top of him, like, and they wouldn't even say his name hardly. I was like, are you serious? It was so frustrating. Not that that's where I go to get, you know, what I want to hear. I go to 97.1 is where I go.
Obviously.
Or even KMOX, you know?
Mostly 97.1, though.
Yeah.
This show's also on. It depends on which station you're listening to this on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kid. Both are great.
Well, it's an amazing revelation to watch MSNBC the other night during the Iowa caucus, and they go to the winner's speech, and MSNBC refuses to carry it because they are the arbiter of truth. And if MSNBC disagrees with you, they're not going to let your voice get heard. This is the same organization that spent 2 years talking about the Russian collusion lie. They didn't care about that, and they've never apologized for it, but they've now determined you can no longer listen to Donald Trump's voice.
It's pretty heartbreaking, actually. And actually, you know, I've even heard CNN referred to as just Rachel Maddow. Like, she is CNN. And
or she's
I don't
MSNBC.
Even have regular TV.
MSNBC.
Or that, whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I don't,
you know her.
That's how well I know.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're very excited about that because, of course, it's like the Super Bowl and the National College Championship and all that wrapped up into one for us here at 97.1 because here's the thing about New Hampshire. I found this out this week. They're going to vote up there on Monday. All of the national media is telling you right now that Nikki Haley is surging, just like they did in Iowa, where she lost by 30 points, right? So now they're telling you, see, you just wait. She's surging in New Hampshire. She's got it down to single digits. And then on Thursday, a poll came out in New Hampshire by the NBC affiliate up there that shows her down by 16 points to Donald Trump. He's at 50%. She's at like 34%. That could tighten before Election Day. 46% of the people that will vote on Monday in New Hampshire are not registered Republicans. So if those are the ones voting for Nikki Haley, that kind of blows the whole thing out of proportion, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd actually like to see Trisha run. Trisha, are you busy for the next 4 years?
You know,
or eight?
I'll consider it.
I thought she was going to make an announcement there for just a minute. I didn't know.
I was hoping.
Yeah, she kind of hesitated, didn't she? Did you hear that?
I did.
I'm still in talks with my team. I need to consult my family and see what they say.
No.
No. Don't,
run away.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Trisha. All right. Great show today. We appreciate you guys listening in. Of course, you can always download the podcast on the Odyssey app or go to our website there at 97.1 FM Talk.
And share it, please.
Yes, please.
Get the word out. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. So for Mark Cox and Carl Middleman,
wear your seatbelts.
I'm Bo Matthews. Stay warm. Wear your seatbelts and have a great weekend. The rest of your weekend. See you, boys.